Ephesians chapter 6. I sure am glad we've got the Word of God to turn to. I don't know what I'd do without my Bible. And I'm glad that hopefully we never will have to worry about that. I'll tell you one thing, with all that's going on in our world today, they may be trying to take it away. I don't know, but we're going to fight about that, I guarantee you. I've looked at this before. It says, finally, in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We've looked at this before. We're going to continue. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I am glad that God gives us what we need to overcome in this day of battle. It is an evil day. I've been talking about that. It'll be something on my heart again tonight, so I hope we'll mind the Lord and listen. Verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That tells us that we're in a battle. I don't guess I had to read that verse or remind you. We know that we're in a battle, and I say so often, we are in a real battle with real weapons, with real enemies, and real casualties. And so many times I believe that we think about our ingenuity and our training and our tenacity, and so many times people think, well, if I just have good training, I can go to school and I can learn and I can be taught how to do it. I got news for you. That won't work. We ought to learn everything we can, but learning is not what we need when it comes to fighting this battle, even though we need to learn some things. Some say training's what we need. Some say tenacity's what we need. I just got to grit my teeth and try harder and determine in myself that I'm not going to give in and I'm not going to fail. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That won't last but about 5 minutes, and you'll realize that won't work. Some think training, and some think tenacity, and some think teamwork. If we'll just bind together, now I'm glad we can bind together, and we ought to, and if we don't, we're going to have problems. There's no doubt about that. But friend, I'll tell you what, we can gang every Christian on earth together, and that won't help as far as our fight for the devil, against the devil. We've got to have something else. And the Lord gives us here the answer to what we need to help us in the evil day when we're fighting against the devil. I am so glad there is help to be had. I have mentioned this. The evil day is a day of trouble. There's no doubt there's trouble. The evil day is a day of temptation. The devil will try to tempt us when we're going through troubles, tempt us to do wrong. The day of evil is a day of testing. Not only is the devil working, but the Lord's working. He's allowed us to go through what we go through, the battles we face, to test us, to help us to grow, to show us ourselves. And also the evil day is a day of triumph. The Lord says we can win, that we can win the battle, that we don't have to be overcome. But I want to go one step further tonight and say the evil day is a day of trusting, of trusting. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, and we can't trust flesh and blood to defeat the devil. We need to trust the Lord. Who am I trusting? What am I trusting? Am I trusting myself, or am I trusting my Savior? In these verses, Paul, the Lord really through Paul, gives us what we need to overcome. And he talks about armor. He talks about that soldier and how he had equipment to help him when the battle came and the enemy attacked. And I want to look tonight a little bit about what that armor is and how we need to trust the Lord to put it on and to use it for His glory. What is it? How do I use it? I do know this. It's His armor. It comes from Him. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's not the church's. It's His. That means I've got to trust Him. We stand in the evil day. Isn't that what Paul said? That in that evil day you may withstand, that you may be able to stand and not fall. Friend, he says in verse 14, stand therefore, and we stand by trusting the Lord and the armor He gives. To stand means we don't lose ground. My, my, how good it would be to not lose ground on the devil. But I believe so many times we lose ground when the devil attacks us. But when I look at that armor, I think first about its protection. It's protection. The armor the soldier has on protects him, but it does not stop the attack. It shields the soldier against damage. It helps him from not losing the battle. It helps him to maintain his ground. It helps him to overcome and not be defeated, but it does not stop the attack from coming. And friend, the armor that we're talking about tonight, it protects us, but it doesn't stop the devil or the flesh. When I think about the armor, I think about its protection, but I also think about its power. Again, in verse 11, it says, be able to stand. Verse 13 says, be able to withstand. I don't know about you, but that tells me something. There's some power involved with putting on this armor that provides us something we don't have ourselves. The armor provides the power we need to overcome the devil. When I think about the armor, I think about its protection. When I think about the armor, I think about its power. But also, when I think about the armor, I think about its placement. Verse 11 says, put on. Verse 13, verse 17 says, take. Verse 16 says, taking. We must put it on. The fact that we have it, the fact that the Lord's provided it for us, will do us no good if we do not place it by faith into our lives. It must be put on. It must be applied. That soldier can stand there and look at that armor and walk off to battle, leaving it behind, and that armor being provided will not help him one bit. It must be placed on his body where it's supposed to be, in the way it's supposed to be, or it will help him none at all. And so it is with our Lord and the armor He's provided. Oh, it's available, and it's, listen, it's sufficient, but it'll do us no good if we do not apply it to our lives. When I think about the armor, I think about its protection and its power and its placement, but I also think about its pieces. And that's the message tonight. It's pieces. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor. Each piece is important. Each piece is necessary. If you miss one, you have a vulnerable spot where the enemy can reach you. It's a place that's open to the enemy that can defeat you or kill you. The pieces of the armor is so important. And we need to look at every piece and put on every piece by faith. What are the pieces of the armor? Well, first, it's the girdle of truth. Look in verse 14. Stand therefore. I just like reading that. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The first piece of the armor is the girdle of truth. Now, that's not a girdle like we think about today. It's really a wide, thick belt that goes around the waist that holds in the robes that they wore. And that belt did two things. Number one, as I've just suggested, it held in those flowing robes. Can you imagine trying to run or trying to fight with a long robe flowing all around your legs and arms? Surely you'd get tangled up with it. So that wide belt put around the waist would hold those long flowing robes in close to where it wouldn't be a hindrance. And friend, that's what he says that we need to do. Put on the girdle of truth. We need to make sure that our thoughts and our mind and our life is centered on truth. Without that, we're going to fail. That wide belt had two functions. One, it helped those flowing robes to be held in tight but it also held some of the other armor. Some of the other armor actually attached to this belt. So it was vitally important for that reason, because if you didn't have the belt on, some of the armor, some of the rest of it would be missing and would be useless. And when I think about truth, it says the girdle of truth, or the your loins gird about with truth. When I think about truth, I surely think about the truth of the Scripture. Jesus said, "Thy word, my word, the things I've said," that's truth. I am so glad that we have the truth of Scripture, because we need the truth, listen, to overcome the attack of the devil with his lies. Our attack of lies from the devil can be overcome by knowing and applying and believing the truth. We need that girdle of truth to where we know what God said. Jesus said about the devil, he is a liar and the father of it. Lying is what comes natural for him. He enjoys it. He didn't think there's anything wrong with it. In fact, if you will, he's the father of it, means he invented the lie. And friend, he came to Adam and Eve lying. You shall not surely die. But the truth that they knew would have saved them from falling had they had that girdle of truth on. When the devil came and said, ye shall not surely die, Eve should have said, well, God said we will, and I believe the truth, instead of your lies. Friend, the devil's going to lie to you, and we need to learn him enough to know what his lies are. And also, we need to know the truth enough to know what the facts are. We need to know the truth of salvation. The devil undoubtedly told Cain, just go into your garden and get the best you've got and send that to God and he'll be satisfied. But friend, there's a problem with that. It wasn't the truth. It was a lie. And Cain, instead of reacting in truth, believed the lie. And listen, he failed. And friend, the devil will lie to us. He'll lie to us about salvation. He'll lie to us about sin. He'll say a little bit won't hurt. He'll say everybody else is doing it. He'll say you'll never be found out. He'll say it'll be all right. But friend, the Bible says the contrary. The sin that we commit has a result, as I mentioned this morning. We need to believe the truth, and we need to overcome the lies of the devil with the truth of the Word of God. The devil will lie to us about salvation. He'll lie to us about sin. He'll lie to us about suffering. He'll say, if God loved you, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through. If God really cared about you, he wouldn't let that happen. If God really cared, why isn't he providing like he seemed to promise in the Word? The devil will lie to us, and we need to know the truth of Scripture, the truth of the Word, to where we can counteract the devil's lies and know, my God does love me, and my God is always right, and he'll never let me down. The devil will come to you and say, God doesn't love you. The devil will come and say, there's no way you're going to get out of this. There's no way that prayer is going to be answered. There's no way things are going to improve. But friend, guess what? That's a lie. We must use the truth. But guess what? We must know the truth if we're to use the truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you know the truth, it'll help you. The first piece of the armor is the girdle of truth. The second piece of the armor is the breastplate of righteousness. It says there in that same verse, the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate was a piece of armor that fit around the midsection from the neck down to the waist. It was made of metal or leather, and it covered the vital organs of the soldier. Listen, that was important. A blow to that area of the body could be fatal, and the battle could be over, and the victory would be lost. There's the importance of the breastplate of righteousness. Now, that surely could mean, and probably does mean to some point, the righteousness that we have in Christ by being saved. But the word there for righteousness really means doing right no matter what. Doing right. Friend, we must do right. We must get it determined in our heart with God's help and God's strength and His power. I will do what's right. I'm going to do what's right when I feel like it and when I don't. I'm going to do right when I want to and when I don't. I'm going to do right when others do and others don't. I'm going to do right when it's easy and when it's hard. I'm going to involve my life with spiritual things. I'm going to avoid ungodliness and unspiritual things and influence that's contrary to the will and way of God. I'm going to do what's right. One piece of the armor that's vitally important every day of our lives, all day long and half the night, we need to say, I'm going to do what's right by God's grace. I know that's what's going to see me through. It isn't easy. My goodness, it's so easy to get wrapped up in life. We have so many things, our work, our house, our children, our grandchildren, our cooking, our going, our obligations. It's so easy to get wrapped up in life and forget about the spiritual matters. And as I mentioned this morning, forget about the keeping our mind on the things of God. We will never win until we get it settled. I'm going to do what's right. I want to say that again. We will never win the battle until we get it settled. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to put that breastplate of righteousness on every day and keep it on all day. The third piece of armor we find in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shoes of the gospel of peace. Boy, now the feet and legs of a soldier were vitally important. You can understand it's what gave them good footing or kept them from having good footing. And a soldier that doesn't have good footing is a goner. Easy prey to the enemy. And the sandals that they used in those days, the soldiers wore, had straps on them that lashed around their ankles and up their legs that secured the sandal tightly on their feet. But the sandals also had spikes through the soles, to where they would dig into the ground and hold that soldier firmly in that position. It provided firm footing. It provided a snug fit for the soldier. Someone has said that the success of Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar's armies was the fact that they were shod well and they were able to have long marches and go quickly over rugged terrain. Well, I don't doubt that'll be it. Because I'll tell you one thing, your shoes are important if you're a soldier. But notice how it's worded. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That word preparation means readiness, being ready. You can almost picture a soldier with all his armor on, and the enemy's on the way, and he's standing there firmly, standing there ready. He's standing and ready and waiting for the enemy because he's prepared. And friend, that's what the Bible says we should be like, that preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, now that surely means that we ought to tell others about the Lord. That's the gospel of peace. But I am convinced this really means we accept this fact. I am at peace with God, and I can have peace that He's fighting for me. Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? He said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Oh, I'm telling you what, we surely should be ready to go out and tell others about the gospel of peace. But I am convinced in my heart that gospel of peace means I stand securely on the fact that I have peace with God. And my heart does not have to be troubled. I don't have to worry or fret or be afraid. Even though I'm in a place of danger, I am safe. Even though I'm being attacked, I'm all right. Even though my enemy's stronger than me, it's going to be all right. That gospel of peace that says, I am standing firmly and trusting God. What a blessing. The fourth piece of the gospel we find in verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I just love that. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Boy, I sure would love that to be true of my life. And it can be if I apply these things to my life. The shield of faith was another piece of the armor. It was a shield that was made of wood that was covered with leather, and it was up to 4 feet by 2 feet. So it was a large shield that the soldier actually could hide behind. And it's a shield, not of leather and wood. Now listen, that soldier needed that shield because the attack was coming, and the arrows was coming, and the flaming arrows was coming, and all he had to do was hold up that shield in front of him, stand behind the shield, and it wouldn't stop the battle, but it would keep him safe. And he says it's a shield of faith. We need to stand behind the promises. Believe what God says. Now, that's related to the truth that we mentioned just a minute ago. But this goes further, that we trust God, what God said, and believe what he said when the battle's the worst. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcometh the world. Could I just read that again? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The victory that overcometh the world, the devil, the flesh, our enemies, it's our faith. 1 Peter 5:9, who resists steadfast in the faith. That shield of faith, hiding behind the Word of God, the truth of God, believing what God says, believing that God's in charge. When the battle's raging, trust the Lord. When things get worse, trust the Lord. When it seems impossible, trust the Lord. When you don't understand, trust the Lord. When you feel weak, trust the Lord. Realize there's a reason I'm going through what I'm going through. And he says we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts. They not only shot arrows, but they shot arrows that were flaming. And what those soldiers would do is douse their shield with water. That leather on that shield would absorb the water. And when the flaming arrow hit that shield with the water on it, it doused the fire. He says the faith that we need to trust the Lord is what's so important. It's so important. Could have said again, the devil said to Eve, ye shall not surely die. And the devil's going to lie to you, but he's lying. And the shield of faith, when things look bad, believe. When you see no way out, believe. When it seems impossible, by the way, when it is impossible, believe. There's something else about those shields. They not only were sufficient for one soldier to hide behind, but they actually had hooks on the sides to where the shields would hook together to where they could literally make a wall of soldiers, a wall of shields to stand when the enemy attacked. And friend, I can't help but see us as a church, as soldiers, standing by faith, trusting the Lord. Friend, I want to tell you something. People of True Gospel Baptist, like never before, we need faith. We need faith to stand together and trust and believe and obey and expect God to do the impossible. And then the fifth piece of the armor is in verse 17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet, guess what that's for? Yep, the head. It protected the head, the most vulnerable part. As far as the body, no doubt, is the head. A blow to the head could be fatal very easily. And guess what? We got to say it again. The devil attacks our mind, how we think. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve. Paul said, I'm afraid that the same thing that happened to Eve is going to happen to you. Because you're not thinking right. What we think is so important. Romans 12:2. But be it transformed. I like that. Be it transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed. I like that. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'll say it again. The devil wants to control our minds. If we let him control what we're thinking, if we listen to his suggestions, if we listen to his lies, we are goners. Friend, listen. The devil cannot tempt us with something we have not thought about. That's why it's so important that we think right. The devil can never tempt us about something we haven't thought about first. Oh, he may tempt you and make you worry about your salvation, whether you're really saved or not. Friend, I just want to tell you, you'll have to get that settled. But I know this, if God says he'll save those who call on him, if they repent and believe, you know what? I believe he'll do it. Now, whether you called on him in faith and repented, that's between you and the Lord. But I know this, I know what God said, and I can believe it. He not only will tempt us about salvation, but he'll tempt us about service and suffering and everything else. Listen, if you're saved, you belong to God. You're one of his children. The sixth piece of the armor is in verse 17 also. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, almost every time I've ever seen a picture of a soldier in the old times, Paul's day and earlier, I see a soldier standing there with a long sword. But friend, that's not the kind of sword that Paul's talking about here. The word sword here is a word that means a small dagger. You know what that means? It's close combat. If you've got somebody inches away from you or even holding on to you, you can't do much with a big old long 3 or 4 foot sword. But I'll tell you one thing, you can do a lot with that dagger. Most of the battles, most of the attacks that happened during Paul's day and earlier was hand to hand. And that's why we need the Word of God, the offensive weapon, to where we not only fight back, but we fight on the offense. The Bible says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus, when he was attacked by the devil, guess what he did? He said, devil, I'm God, get away from me. Oh, no, he didn't. What he said was what we should say. It is written. It is written. It is written. Three times the Lord, the God of heaven, the Son of God, said to the devil, it is written. He relied, he referred to the Word of God. I'll say it again. We can't stop the devil from attacking us, but we can stop from being defeated. We need that Word of God. We need to fight back. I've said this so often. Find you some verses that deal with what you're going through. And when the devil comes and whispers all that mess in your ear, fight with that weapon of the Word of God. Quote scripture to him. You know what? He ain't going to like it. But if we're to be able to do that, guess what? We must have the Word of God in us. That's why I suggest spend time in the Word and find verses that apply to the battle you're facing and let those words be your artillery, your sword, you fight back. Verse 13 says, ye shall be able to quench all. We will be able to quench all the fiery darts. That sure does sound good to me. That means there's victory for me. That, again, does not say it won't be an attack or it won't be hard or it's going to be easy, but it does say when the devil comes, when the battles are worse, you've got some help. Notice what it said. Ye shall be able. You know what that means? That means me. That means you. With all of our hang-ups, with all our weakness, with all our flaws, with all our baggage, with all our past, and listen, we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one if we put this armor on. We can have victory. It doesn't matter how weak you are. It doesn't matter how ill-equipped you are. What matters is that we trust the Lord and we let him fight. Notice, ye shall be able to quench all, no matter what the devil throws at us, we can win. If he attacks you at your weakest point, if he attacks you and tempts you with that thing that you want more than anything else, there is still victory. We do not have to give in. For some, that's fear. For some, that's worry. For some, that's pride. For some, that's prosperity. For some, that's popularity. Oh, my goodness, no matter how the devil fights you, with all those fiery darts, we can win and be successful. When he tempts us, we do not have to give in. Listen, there's times he's going to try and make us doubt and lie to us. but don't believe his lies. Paul said, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." We do not have to be defeated. I got a question. Aren't you tired of losing? Aren't you tired of feeling defeated? I sure am. And we don't have to be. In the evil day, when the battle's the worst, there's help to be had. This armor that God has given us, we need to put on by faith and trust and believe and obey. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, help us by faith to look through these pieces of armor and day by day, moment by moment, apply these one by one to our lives. And by faith, put on this armor that you have given us to help us to win the victory. Help us to not be defeated. Help us to not be overcome. Help us to stand together as soldiers in the evil day that we're facing. I'll thank you for what you do and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.